Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Happy Sunday and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. This is Donna. Today is Sunday, the last day in May, May 31st, 2020. We're broadcasting live from the lovely hot city of Atlanta. This evening, our Be Encouraged series continues. And we will discuss the many forms and faces of domestic violence. You can join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894, or you can send your email to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Well, again, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? And I always like to start by just simply answering that question for those who may be joining us for the first time or maybe young. We have listeners of all ages, so I always want to address that. That's good etiquette, right? Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Who we have to thank for this is Charles I and II of England, because they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome everyone. If you have been listening to the news over the past few months, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic began, then at some point you've heard that domestic violence is at an all-time high. And, of course, they attribute that to persons being, sheltering in place. And so this topic may not, again, be real popular to many, but it is indeed very, very necessary. Now, in polling numerous persons about what they feel the definition of domestic violence is, and of course, as far as prepping and researching for this show, overwhelmingly most people answered domestic violence just refers to marriages, abusive marriages. But in case you all did not know, you will soon find out that domestic violence, there's so many different types of domestic violence. I think probably the major one that we hear about is when it comes to marriages. But therapist Peppy Chapman will identify these various types, and she's going to elaborate on those as well. So You are sure to be educated this evening, informed, and empowered as well with the information that you are going to hear. So you certainly want to call everyone you know, text, tweet, Facebook them, and let them know that this show is on. It is so important. This information is going to be. Also, if you are in an abusive relationship or if you have made it out and would like to share, you may certainly do that. And, of course, if you would like to remain anonymous, no worries. You can certainly do that as well. Okay? Now, I want to, first of all, introduce Pepe, and I'm looking, wow, our switchboard is really lit up here. So that is a wonderful thing. Let me introduce her first of all. Currently, Pepe Chapman is a licensed clinical social worker at the Richard L. Rudebush VA in Indianapolis, Indiana, where she does psychotherapy with veterans. She received her bachelor's degree in social work from Oakwood University in Huntsville, Alabama, and her master's degree in social work from Indiana University. Her previous employment has been Gallahue Community Health Network, Pleasant Run, Giant Steps, and Children's Bureau, where she did community-based therapy with children and families who had issues with anger, substance use, depression, physical, sexual, mental, and emotional abuse, as well as neglect and other mental health issues. She has also worked for the Resolute Treatment Center, where she did individual, family, and group therapy with male adolescent sex offenders. She also works at the Newcastle Correctional Facility, where she did group therapy with adult male sex offenders. No matter the population she has worked with, it has been both a challenge and a rewarding experience. And so I'm going to bring on Pepe. And let's see if we can connect her. Let's see. Pepe, are you there? Okay, let me try again. We have a lot of lines lit up here for a minute. Some of them appear to be a little duplicate as well. So give me one moment. All right, Pepe, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can now. Happy Sunday to you.
And happy Sunday to you as well. Thank you.
You are so welcome and so glad to have you. I also want to bring on, let's see, Pastor Emmanuel Williams, who is definitely not a stranger to our show. He's been on several times. In fact, he was on this time last Sunday as well. And let me see if I can pull him on. Give me one moment. So, Pepe, while we're getting ready to bring on Pastor Williams, have you had a good day today so far?
I have.
Wonderful. Very good. Okay, so let's see if I can. Let me check this line. Wow. Okay. Audience, thank you for your patience. Give me one moment. We have some forms of duplication showing up right now. And let's see. All right. And we seem to have cleared some of the duplicate lines. Not quite sure what is going on, but no worries. This will not stop the show. The show must go on. So let me just check here. Okay, and I don't believe he is on quite yet. So, and so, Pastor Williams, if you hear me, we've cleared out some of the duplicate lines. Not sure why that happened, but no worries. We've had some technical issues. I'll be talking about that a little later because I'm receiving your feedback regarding this. But anyway, Pepe, so excited that you are here to join us. I know you have a lot of information to share, and so I'm just going to let you go ahead and get started with whichever area that you deem would be the best place to begin.
Okay, sure. Do you still hear me?
Uh-huh, I do, absolutely.
Okay, great. So what I'll do is I'll start off by talking about the definition of domestic violence. And the domestic violence is a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another partner. And so this can include traditional marriages. It can include same-sex partnerships and relationships where no sexual intimacy is involved. And a lot of times when you think of domestic violence, a lot of people think of, okay, that's just mainly between a husband and a wife. But with domestic violence, it can be not only husband and wife, it can be boyfriend and girlfriend, it can be girlfriend and girlfriend, boyfriend and boyfriend, just any of those relationships, as well as even sibling relationships. And when I say relationships, that's where no intimacy is involved. So when we look at domestic violence, it can take the many forms, including emotional abuse, sexual and physical abuse, stalking, and threats of abuse. And when you think about walking away, when people think about walking away from abusive relationship, it's more of a process, really, than a single action. Victims, a lot of times, do several attempts before they leave for good. And because of this coronavirus, you can imagine there's been an uptake of abuse, and there's been a nationwide spike of at least 30%. In Spain, there was like 18% more calls in the first 2 weeks of the lockdown than in the same period a month before. There's also been a surge of calls in China since early February. And according to the CDC, 23 people are abused by intimate partners every minute, which makes that approximately 10 million every year. So when we look at domestic violence, it doesn't just impact you or your partner, but, of course, it affects the family members. It affects friends. It affects the church community as well as the law enforcement community. When we look at how it's impacted family members, you all probably remember a time when Jennifer Hudson, the singer, how she ended up finding her, you know, her mom was killed as well as her brother and a nephew because of
her
sister's boyfriend. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying you just took me back. I remember that unfortunate tragedy. Yeah, go right ahead.
Right. And so when you look at if you end up involving even a friend, say, you know, you end up saying, okay, can I stay with you, you know, as a friend, then friends as well as any other family members have to also be worried about their safety. And then law enforcement as well. We had approximately a month ago, we had a well-regarded police officer by the name of Bree Lee who was shot when she responded to a domestic call. Leaving behind her 3-year-old child, and of course her parents and a sister. So you can see how devastating that was. You also hear about celebrities being impacted. I don't know if you can remember Tina Turner. Christina Aguilera. Her mother reported that Christina's father abused her and her mother, and at the age of 4, Christina was found with blood dripping from her face. We also remember Halle Berry. She witnessed her father abusing her mom, which left her with low self-esteem, and then, you know, later on choosing
terrible boyfriend. Once the boyfriend hit her so hard that he left her over 80% deaf in one ear. And then we can't forget about the men, Lionel Richie as well as Al Green, how they were domestically abused as well. In the 80s, it was alleged that Sean Penn beat Madonna for about 9 hours. And, of course, the more highly publicized Nicole Brown Simpson, as well as Rihanna, who Chris Brown punched in the face, arms, and legs on multiple occasions. So when we look at that, so it's not just common just with everyday folk, but also with celebrities as well.
Wow.
Right. So we ask the question, why is it that some people don't leave the situation? And so a lot of times people don't leave due to shame. They don't leave due to fear. Sometimes they really don't feel like they have anywhere to go or no one that would help, and they feel that they'll be judged. What I want to say, too, I think at the outset of this presentation, I probably need to go ahead and give, like, a nationwide domestic hotline phone number just in case you have some of your listeners who may have to hurry and get off the phone or may not be able to listen to the entire presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So at least have a phone number. So I'll go ahead and give the phone number. That phone number is 1-800-799-7233, or if you wanted to remember it as 799-SAFE. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. We also have a number for men. They can call. It's 1-800-RESPECT, and that's 1-800-737-7328. Again, that's 1-800-RESPECT and 1-800-737-7328.
Okay, I'm prepping. I'm going too long. If you don't mind, I interrupt you just for a second. In case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are, the voice that you hear is therapist Pepe Chapman, and we're talking about domestic violence. And she's giving us some information that I'm sure a lot of the listeners were just not aware of. Domestic violence comes in so many different forms, and she's just given out two very important phone numbers that if this is something that you're dealing with or someone that you know, she's giving out the phone number. And Pepe, I wanted to say something to you regarding, I know you just gave out the number for men. And so how common, we don't seem to hear as many men reporting domestic violence as we do women. Why is that? Or when you think of domestic violence, you think that the perpetrator, you know, is always a male. So can you kind of shed some light on that?
Right, I sure can. A lot of times men don't want to really report that because, again, they feel like maybe they won't be believed or they may be scared that their partner may take revenge.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people may say, hey, I don't believe you're being abused. Look how much bigger and stronger you are than her. You could knock her down or sit on her. So why, you know, then we ask, okay, well, why is that the case? Well, a lot of times I know a client of mine said, even if I call the police, they come out here and they end up arresting me. And so a lot of times they may feel like, well, it's no use anyway. So I might as well just, you know, just kind of take it. And a lot of times people stay in those situations for, you know, years on end.
Wow. Wow. So it just needs to be reported whether it's male or female that's the victim, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And a lot of times, like I said,
We'll go right ahead, and then we're going to start picking up some of our phone calls, okay?
Okay. And a lot of times, to make up for the difference in strength, abusive partners, you know, the women may attack the men in their sleep. You know, they may use weapons or other objects, and they also may abuse the children or pets.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I'm sure people are thinking, wow, this is really interesting. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. We are certainly coming to you right now. So that you know who I am referring to, I will state the last four digits of your phone number, and you'll know that I am speaking with you. So the first one is 4072. Hello. Hello, 4072. Hello. Okay, perhaps they were just listening. Okay. All right, so no worries about that. Let me see. Let me go to the next line. It is 8490. Hello, 8490. Hello, can you hear me? 8490. Okay, perhaps they may just be listening as well. So we may circle back just to see. So go right ahead, Pepe, with your next area that you would like to share. So, and of course, we just said that males and females both really need to report.
Right. And another thing with men, sometimes it's a masculine thing. So if they feel like I'll feel less masculine if I report the abuse as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in society, men are noted for not being weak. And so a lot of times, you know, they feel like the interventions aren't going to be as helpful anyway. And when they're unable to see themselves as victims, it's easy to increase their reluctance to seek help. So I feel like no one really wants to feel like a victim. And when you look at if they're feeling, you know, they're not masculine, you know, it makes it that much easier not to report.
Sure, sure. And let me ask you this, because this is so common when little boys versus little girls are growing up. Oftentimes, if the little girl gets hurt, right, it's, oh, you poor thing, and we tend to nurture them, right? And then when little boys get hurt, what is so common is, oh, you're okay, shake it off or suck it up or so on and so forth. So do you think that could also have the same type of or give the same type of signals? You know what I mean? You know, she hit you or she slapped you or whatever. Oh, suck it up because you're a man.
Right.
What do you think
and
about
you make a good
that?
Point. Yeah, you make a good point because, yeah, so if you have that attitude as a child, definitely when you're older, you feel like, you know, I can't really express myself. You know, I have to, you know, keep it in. And a lot of times that's where, you know, men do keep things in more. They're more likely to shut down and really not talk or express their feelings in the future.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then generally women want to know generally why when they're talking to them, it's like, okay, he won't talk or, you know, he won't express his feelings and he's cold and those kinds of things. So I'm sure that has something to do with that as well. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So what I want to talk about next is find someone you know is being abused and then basically the red flags of abuse. So signs someone you know is being abused, excuses for injuries. You know, they have excuses, and this is, you know, not only for domestic violence, but even for kids who are being abused. You've often probably, you know, heard where kids are like, oh, you know, I fell down the stairs, you know, or I was on the playground and I got knocked over on the playground, when in actuality, you know, they're getting physically abused. Personality changes, like low self-esteem, is someone who was always confident. So, you know, somebody who maybe was really outgoing and then all of a sudden, you know, they're not really interacting much, constantly checking in with their partner and feeling like, you know, because at first, especially when people are young, they may feel like, oh, he's calling me all the time. He's wanting to know my whereabouts. And they may feel like, oh, okay, that's, you know, he's doing that because he loves me. But basically, you know, when you have trust with someone, you know, it shouldn't be about, you know, constantly checking in and calling them every few minutes. Never having money on hand, that's another sign. Overly worried about pleasing their partner. Skipping out on work, school, or social outings for no clear reason. And wearing clothes that don't fit the season, like long sleeves in the summer to cover any bruises. And then when we look at red flags of abuse, does your partner abuse alcohol and drugs? I don't know how many times this is an issue, the abuse of alcohol or drugs. I know I've heard people say, boy, he is good as gold when he is not drinking. But as soon as he starts drinking, it's like he's a monster. So when we look at alcohol, you know, just to digress just a little bit, a lot of times, you know, we've been worried as a society and sick about, you know, getting a germ or virus. And out of respect for ourselves and out of respect for others, you know, doing the social distancing, washing our hands, wearing masks and gloves, you know, that's something that we do out of respect so we can keep everybody safe. But while doing this, we're doing everything to try to stop, you know, the virus, trying to isolate it. We can't go, you know, here or there. Business has been shut down, restaurants, clothing stores, churches. But when we look at it, we as a society, we're so inconsistent about our morals on what we need to do to save lives. You know, we're so distressed about the coronavirus, but did you know that an estimated 88,000 people die in this country every year, 1,600 plus a week, about 200 a day just from alcohol-related causes, which is the third leading preventable cause of death in the U.S. And as a result of this happening, do we just say, hey, we need to shut all the liquor stores down? Or do we say that get all the liquor out of the stores? And we know that that is no. In fact, liquor has been like essential during this COVID virus, if you know, notice. When someone comes, when somebody comes out pushing a cart full of liquor, pretty much full of death and domestic violence, to include black eyes, broken bones, car accidents, traumatized children. It just seems like as a society, we're okay with that. And that's just the statistics and everything in the U.S. But we haven't talked about, you know, what happens the north and south of the borders. We haven't talked about Asia or South Africa. But yet, we're outraged by this one pandemic.
And Peppy, if I can if I can throw this out there, and when you said that, I automatically remember at the very beginning of this pandemic, and they were saying, make sure that you drink a lot of water, you need to drink a lot of liquids, and it's very important. So I remember I was in the store, and there was a lady in front of me, and she had, I know, probably 12 bottles or so of liquor. And I kind of looked, you know, I kind of looked and tried not to look in judgment or anything. But the first thing she said, well, you know, they told us to drink a lot of liquids. So I'm stocking up on my liquids. And I just looked at her and, you know, what can I say? I mean, I can't judge, but I definitely thought about that. I said, wow, you know, most people, they seem to have a lot of food, and she just had mostly all liquor in her her car. I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Yeah, because obviously, you know, that must be falling under the essential, if you will. So if you all are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about domestic violence and all those things that actually contribute to domestic violence. Pepe, we're going to take a quick break. And I know that people kind of catch their breath here because you've given us a lot of just so important information. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back in just a moment. So don't go away.
This video is for parents and grandparents and for you because you want your baby to thrive. For a baby, touch is talk. Touch is the most developed sense a small baby has. Skin-to-skin contact is a powerful way to communicate with your baby before your baby can talk to you. Give your baby the gift of feeling deeply connected to you. Give them a baby massage. Create a deep and lasting bond.
Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on Miss Donna Speaks. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' mind when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, MissDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Miss Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com, www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Miss Donna's voice. Are you looking for the perfect book for children ages 4 and up that contains life skills? What is Etiquette Anyway by Donna Paige Riley is a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book makes reading time fun time while teaching valuable lessons. Children will learn communication skills, table manners, telephone manners, personal hygiene and grooming, posture and poise, how to write invitation and thank you, and more. This information helps children to develop self-esteem and confidence. Here's what some people are saying about What is Etiquette Anyway. Barbara Myers said, "My son is 7 years old and doesn't care for reading. But when I purchased this book and placed it on the coffee table, one day I walked by and saw him reading it. In fact, he read the entire book at one sitting and was excited to tell me about it. Thanks, Miss Donna, for writing a great book that grabbed my son's attention." Sue Corker said, "I don't have children, but purchased this book for myself as a reminder of how to set up the formal play setting. It has a great diagram. What is Etiquette Anyway makes the perfect gift for any occasion. Your child will remember this information forever." Order your authentic,
and personalized autograph copy today. Go to www.pagesetiquette.com. www.pagesetiquette.com. Pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we're going to we're speaking with Peppy Chapman, who's a therapist, and she is certainly educating us about the various forms of domestic violence. She's also given two phone numbers out if you or someone you know are needing to speak with someone to report. The first one was 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. If you are a male, the number was 800-RESPECT or 800-737-7328. Okay, Peppy, so I want to go ahead and go to a couple of the emails that we have, and then I'm going to go back to the phone for just a second. Here's one. It says, "Miss Donna, I am a teacher, and we always observe marks or welts on kids. We have to report it. Thanks for this topic," and this comes from Maria in Atlanta. Yes, thank you so much for that. And, Peppy, I think you did say that. That was, you know, there some of the actual signs, physical signs, the marks on children. And so that is definitely important to observe that. Here's one. It says, "Miss Donna, please ask the therapist what should be done when you've been asked to seek therapy but don't feel you need to go. Yes, I was abusive to my children because I was drinking at the time, but I no longer drink. I feel I can control myself now. Thank you." And this is anonymous in Ohio.
Okay. And I would say even though she has stopped drinking, therapy still would be beneficial for her because a lot of times you need to kind of discuss and process through, like, underlying issues that may have happened. And I was just going to get to, you know, the underlining issues part, you know, whether it could be underlining issues of anger. It could be, you know, abuse where they had been victimized, you know, as a child or an adult. If they've witnessed domestic violence in their home as a child, or any type of, like, abandonment issues. So even though, and I applaud her for getting the drinking under control, but also there may be other issues that maybe she hasn't even thought about that would be beneficial in exploring in therapy.
Okay, and thank you so much, and I hope that does help. I'm going to go back. Let's see if we can pick up this caller. Extension 3504. Hello.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
This is Hazel Butler. You hear me?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Hazel. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Well, I'm enjoying so much all the good information. So keep your good work up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you so much for listening as well, okay?
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. All right, Peppy, so I don't know where you would like to continue. Wow, I so appreciate this information. This is just so informative, as I mentioned, and I knew it would be very informative.
Okay. Well, I'll continue with the red flags of abuse. The first one, I discussed the abuse of alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. The next one says, do you feel trapped or afraid to break up with your partner? And a lot of times people feel trapped. They can feel trapped because, one, financially, you know, they may be financially dependent on their abuser, or they may be disabled or have some other medical conditions that kind of keep them, you know, at the house because of needing to depend on that extra financial stability. So a lot of times they do feel trapped, like, man, if I could go somewhere, if I could, you know, get my own place. I've had a client before said, I really want to move on my own, but because she had children as well, she didn't feel like that she could pay all of her bills and meet her children's needs without that additional income. Another thing, do you blame yourself for your partner's unhappiness? Does your partner frequently put others down, especially people who are important to you? Does your partner cheat on you? Does your partner accuse you of cheating, coming on, or flirting with others? Is your partner physically rough with you? Does she or he shove, push, pull, yank, squeeze, smack, jerk, restrain you, or force you to have sex? Does your partner refuse to listen to you? If he or she, do they feel they are always right? Does your partner tell you to shut up? Does your partner threaten suicide if you talk about breaking up? Does your partner compare you unfavorably to others? Does your partner lie to you, tell you that you're crazy? Does your partner tell you how to act or dress? Does your partner blame everything on you? Does your partner always seem to be mad at someone or something? Does your partner drive dangerously when you're in the car? And this is an important one, too, because I've also had a client talk about how a lot of times when she would get in the car and she was always scared to really ride with him because the times he would get upset, start arguing, and then he would just threaten, I'm going to hit this tree or I'm going to drive off the bridge. Does your partner experience extreme mood swings? So when you look at those are a lot of the red flags for abuse. I also want to give an example, again, of the patient. And I'm generally saying patient or he or she just because, you know, we can't give names because of HIPAA and privacy.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
This patient had to ask permission to go anywhere. When she would go somewhere, a lot of times, too, we talked about the dress. She would go out wearing, like, baggy pants. So she kind of, you know, dressed as a boy, kind of wearing baggy pants, hats, like oversized shirts, just in an effort so that she wouldn't, you know, get additional male attention. A lot of times, too, when I was doing community-based therapy, we could, you know, do sessions like, you know, in restaurants or in the park or other places. So when I would ask her to, you know, go out, because most of the time she would stay in her home. And so trying to get her out, but, of course, she didn't want to go out because she was always talking about how too many guys would hit on her. And a lot of times when they have very low self-esteem, you know, she was used to her boyfriend just always calling her out of her name. This was mainly done, again, she said, when he was drinking. Also, she felt like at home she had to always walk on edge. She had to tiptoe around him because anything would just irritate him. She also said you know, it was hard to sleep. And then how he always called her out her name, always thinking she was cheating on him. So these are the things. And then you can imagine when kids later on, I'll tell you about the impact of, you know, children in these situations. a lot of things can happen. People usually tend to stay and not leave, again, because of children. People say they don't leave because they're financially dependent, and they're afraid that if they do leave, they will be killed. And I actually have had a client that says, hey, I'll stay, just because he did tell me if you leave, I will kill you. Then there's a horrible fear of abandonment. So I always tell people.
Peppy, do you mind if I just kind of, I want to interject this real quick. I just want to know, what would you say to people who are so quick to judge, you know, and say things like, oh, you know, if I were her, I would have left him long time ago. And I don't know, you know, why you're even still in that relationship. And, you know, something must be wrong with you. So a lot of times, you know, we hear so much judgment stating, people are so quick sometimes to say what they would do if they were in that situation. However, not being in that situation, you really don't know what you would do. So what do you have to say to people like that? Because I know everyone listening knows of someone who has either said that or thought it or something.
Right. And again, I want to reiterate, a lot of people, they stay because of the children, because of financial reasons. You know, they really can't leave. A lot of them may not really have the skills, because what I find that a lot of people get in situations where, for one, they leave home like when they're young, sometimes like 16 and 17. And a lot of times they leave because they're trying to escape negative and dangerous situations from home. Maybe they came from a home that was abusive too. And so a lot of times when they meet these men, they immediately move in with them because they feel like, okay, I've escaped my situation at home, not realizing that pretty much you have moved in with a person that you were trying to escape. And so a lot of times when you're young and, like, say, school hasn't been important, you don't really have your education, you are kind of what they say, you feel trapped. Because you feel like, you know, you can't really go anywhere, because now not only have you moved, but then you started having children. And a lot of times people are having multiple children, usually three and four, where you do feel like, okay, I am stuck. And if he's telling you, hey, I don't want you going anywhere, or you can't use the car, or, you know, what have you, it's not not much you can do. So a lot of times, again, the children, the finances, those are the main things why people stay. And again, low self-esteem, because maybe you've been told, hey, nobody else is going to want you. And so a lot of times I've had, you know, clients, especially, you know, low self-esteem, not really liking how they look. Mm-hmm. And that can be a factor too, thinking, oh, okay, maybe he's right. Nobody else is going to want me, so I might as well just stay here.
Wow. So in case you all are just begin listening to the show, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about the various forms of domestic violence, and we are receiving a lot of information. And I know some of you that have been listening to the entire show are probably thinking, wow, this is a lot of information. But listen, no worries. This is definitely one of the shows you are going to want to go back to listen to again, because the show is, all of our shows are archived, so you'll be able to go back and listen. And even to go back and listen to the show for the second time, you're probably going to hear some things that you did not hear initially this evening, because if your mind is like mine, I'm just kind of thinking about some of these things, and then when she's going to something else, sometimes something may still be lingering about something that she already said. So this is definitely going to be a show you want to go back and listen to. I'm going to see, let's see if we can pull on a few callers. Callers, thank you for your patience. Extension 8067, 8067, hello. Okay, hello. 8067. Okay. All right. Okay, not quite sure. Not quite sure what's going on with our phone line. One moment. Okay, 8067. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Yes. Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can hear you.
Hello. Hi there. Hi. Thanks for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? Talk show. We are having a wonderful conversation, learning a lot of information, very informative. Yes, we'd like to hear your comment.
Well, my comment is kind of a question here. Can domestic violence come from a parent?
Yes.
Okay, and what tips would you have for a kid experiencing that? Or, like, you know, how would you tell them to deal with that? Like, what would be your coping skills for that?
You said if a kid is experiencing that?
Yes, like, what would be your coping skills for that kid until they can receive help?
Okay, now let me ask you this. For the kid and stuff, have they, I don't know how long this has been going on, but prior, were they getting any help, like from a school counselor or any other type of therapist?
So let's say that the kid was too afraid to reach out for fear that somebody would know, and they're just going through it, and they're just, you know, holding it to themselves. Like, told anybody about that?
Let me ask you this. So with the kid, well, and I'm not sure how old he is or she is, but would they be?
Yeah, the kid would say the kid is a freshman in high school this upcoming year.
Let me ask you this. Would they be afraid to call, like, the CPS hotline? And that's the is Child Protective Service.
Yeah. So let's say they want to remain anonymous. They're afraid of somebody hearing them, and they can't really go into a place physically because of quarantine and COVID going on. How would somebody express themselves that way?
Now, they're not able to, like, step outside either to make a phone call?
Not without suspicion.
You said not without assistance?
No, I said suspicion from the parent, suspicion.
Oh, suspicion. Okay, suspicion. Okay. Has this person told, so this person hasn't told a friend or anyone?
Well, they told a friend, but there's not, you know, really that much a friend could do.
Okay. Well, the only reason why I asked about a friend, I was wondering if maybe that friend could call the hotline for him.
Mm.
Because a lot of anyone who is suspecting that there could be abuse, anyone, you know, they're supposed to call that hotline.
Okay.
I would say if that he can't do it, then that friend, if that friend could intervene for him.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for reaching out and calling. Okay.
All right.
All right. And our number is 516-418-5894. And you are certainly welcome to call as well with your question or with your comment. Okay. Okay, Peppy. Wow, so hopefully the friend will certainly be able to call and get help. you certainly will hope that that would be the case.
Okay. What I wanted to say, too, a lot of times I always tell people it's no greater gift for kids than to be for them to be taught how to be independent. And with that, I would just suggest people definitely getting your education so you don't have to rely, you know, on a man or woman or partner, you know. And I say that because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, end up growing up feeling like, oh, I need a man. A man's going to, you know, always take care of me instead of feeling like, hey, I need to be able to take care of myself because, hey, if I don't have a man or, you know, a partner, I don't meet anyone, then I need to be able to take care of myself, which means a lot of times being able to live on your own so that you know how to pay your bills, that you know how to be independent. And I think that's a piece that's missing for a lot of people. I know that when I was working in a prison setting, a lot of the men would say, hey, we rely on the woman. We live with women. You know, they wanted the woman to, like, you know, be the ones who took care of them. And the women would go working while they would just stay home and play video games all day. And so I think just having that mindset of, you know, I need to get my education. I need to be able to take care of myself. A lot of times, too, letting kids, I think, you know, kids probably need to date even at a later age so they can focus on their education. I remember when we were coming up, you know, my mom always stressed, you know, dating in groups. You know, when you're young, you don't really, you know, realize or, you know, think about, you know, that being a good, you know, idea or a good situation, but it has a lot of merit, you know. So when people rush into things, when people rush into things, then, you know, you find these type of situations.
And mentioning teenagers, I have a question here. It says, I have a teen daughter that seems to be in a volatile relationship, but when I ask her, she says he just has a temper, but he's okay. What can I do? And this comes from Maribeth in Illinois. Thank you for that question, Maribeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he has a temper, I would say run from that situation because a lot of times, and we're going to the next section, how to avoid getting into an abusive relationship and just the questions that you need to ask. And I think one of those questions is, does the person deny having a problem with anger? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that, because that only, you know, when people have a temper, it's easy, you know, for them to lash out and then think nothing to hit you, no matter, you know, if you're a girl or boy. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say that, when people have anger problems, that can be a red flag. And then especially you combine that again with alcohol and drugs.
Definitely for teenagers because they are just learning, and of course they think, you know, even though they're just learning, they're just teenagers. Oftentimes, you know, with that particular age range, if you will, a lot of them think they know everything already, and they don't, but they think they do. And so what is so important are certainly the red flags. I know that there was a teenager that I was mentoring, and I asked her if she was dating anybody, and she said she had met this new guy. It was her first year in college, and she had met this new guy. He was really nice and seemed really smart. She said, well, sometimes, you know, if I ignore him when he's talking to me, or, you know, if I am thinking about what I want to say to him, sometimes he'll grab my arm and say, you know, do you hear me talking to you? And I said, that is not a good sign. If he's grabbing your arm or snatching your arm, that is absolutely not a good sign. and you might not want to see him, because if he's doing that just while you're thinking about what you're going to, you know, answer, his, you know, how you're going to answer his question, he grabs you, absolutely not, because he should not be putting his hands on you, period. And she kind of looked at me and said, she was like, really? I said, yes, really. I said, that is not a positive sign. He should not be putting his hands on you. And she was like, wow. And so she left him alone. So definitely talk about a few more, I guess, signs, if you would, and especially for teenagers, because, like I said, teenagers are they're just dating, and I love what you said about the group dating. And so I know we have, this is a family show, we have a lot of parents that listen to this show and their kids. And certainly, if you would just kind of address that for a minute, and I think that would just be so helpful to especially the teenagers. And I'm sure, you know, these are signs that are good for relationships, period. When you are first meeting someone or dealing with these people. So if you could do that, that would be wonderful.
Okay, sure. Yeah, these are some tips for staying safe in relationships, and especially with teens. But the first one is make sure you get together in a public place. You know, getting together and staying in a public place, you know, ensures your safety. And especially if this is someone who's new, who you don't know, you're just meeting, you definitely want to go somewhere that's public. Another thing is don't go to parties alone. Always make sure you have people you trust with you. That's something else. Another thing is always set boundaries before things get physical. Remember that just because someone pays for your meal or a movie or buys a gift doesn't mean he or she is entitled to sex. Just because someone acts or looks sexy doesn't mean he or she wants to have sex. And just because someone gets angry doesn't mean that you made the person act that way or that you deserve to be hurt or intimidated. Another thing, don't drink or use other drugs. Of course, this affects your ability to take care of yourself and also to make good decisions. Don't worry about hurting someone's feelings. If you're uncomfortable with another person and what they're doing, clearly and firmly say no or stop. When someone says no to a sexual advance from you or tells you to stop, then stop. Remember that just because someone doesn't want sex doesn't mean he or she is rejecting you as a person. Be prepared in case something goes wrong. He talks about having money or a cell phone so you can get another way home if necessary. If the person you're with doesn't seem to respect you, respect yourself and look for a healthier relationship. If something doesn't look, sound, or feel right, it probably isn't right. And weigh the risk by staying in control of your actions. So those are, you know, some of the tips with staying safe in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to, you know, defining what is a healthy relationship, especially for teens, the first thing, you feel safe both physically and emotionally. You are respected and you're listened to. You are free to make your own decisions without pressure. You are encouraged to be yourself and to pursue your own dreams and goals. You are appreciated for exactly who and what you are. And a good relationship will not make you feel bad, fearful, anxious, insecure, or worthless. And something else I wanted to say is a lot of times when people are getting to know someone for a relationship, that's why it's just so important for people to get to know people's likes, their dislikes, learn about their goals, you know, where they're headed in life, because you'll be able to figure out just from that if you want to pursue the relationship any further or take relationships to the next step.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you say something about, you know, that you having that feeling. We all have instincts. So we want to certainly be able to rely on our instincts, that spirit. you know, within us, usually we feel that something is not right, then it generally isn't right. And I like to call it, this is a warning from God. I am a believer, and so that's what I feel, that, you know, if it's not feeling right, and we can usually sense that, and that's generally, you know, you're sensing that spirit is at work there. I want to also go ahead, let's see if we can pick up a couple other callers, and let's see, extension 0670, I'll say the last four, and you'll know I'm speaking with you. So extension 0670, I'm sorry.
0670, yes, Donna.
Hi there.
I regret calling in late. Be that as it may, you have a very stimulating discussion going on here concerning reaction or actions, interactions between people. And you were just alluding to the fact that in your own personal way, you experience promptings from the Spirit or promptings from God about when a situation is positive or may be negative. And I would certainly endorse that because that is one way God has of providing protection or protecting his people. Because God knows, whereas we as humans may not know what the intentions of a person may be, certainly God does, and he has ways of either altering our circumstances or communicating directly with us through promptings by the Spirit, which give us warnings that this is something we need to be cautious about. This is something we don't need to rush into and or be concerned about where this relationship might lead. And so that is one of the advantages that believers have, is they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and therefore God is able to communicate with his people through that Spirit, warning them of circumstances in which they may be headed that he knows will have an adverse impact on their lives. And I would say, just like you have spoken, you have spoken of your own personal knowledge of that, I would certainly say the same is true for me. There are times when I was trying to make decisions in my life and was prompted by the Spirit, no, you need to wait that out. Don't rush into it, but give it more time. And then as we obey the Spirit, we soon learned that what we were thinking or what we were wanting to do was not the best course of action, and that it is to our advantage to heed the Spirit, heed the inner promptings that come from God, because he alone knows what the end will be and is the only person that's really in a position to keep us from making a false step.
Absolutely. And I know you said you called in late, but actually you're right on time, because that is wonderful. And the voice that you're hearing, some of you, I'm sure you recognize this voice, is Pastor Emmanuel Williams. And he has been with us several times, and he was on the panels today and on last Sunday. And I am so glad you're on, because I also been looking at some emails that were addressed to you that I would like to read as well. And if you would say hello to my cousin here, Pepe Chapman.
Well, hello, Chappy. I got to say that I was impressed with that litany of do's and don'ts that you just shared with the radio audience. And I do say that each one of them that you cited is very applicable, is very relevant, and is very true. And in the absence of not having perhaps some inner promptings, certainly those would be guidelines that people should follow when they are encountering new people, whether they're making decisions about businesses or going into relationships. All of the things that you cited certainly have merit, and I endorse them.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to go ahead. And she's been giving us a lot of concrete information. I want to read this, Pastor Williams. It says, Miss Donna, this question is for the pastor. My sister and I were abused by our mom for most of our childhood. We've both been through therapy and were told to forgive our mom. My sister has forgiven her, but I tried and failed. I can't seem to be able to let her off the hook. What more can I do? Thank you. I know the Bible says forgive. And this is from Roberta.
Yeah. Well, my answer would be that, yes, from a human standpoint, it appears or it can be difficult. Well, it is difficult, and from a human standpoint, it may seem impossible. And so while from a human perspective it is impossible, that is the basis for us going to God, who doesn't work in the human aspect but works in the supernatural. And God is able to enable you to be able to forgive your mother. He is able to give you the prompting. He's able to give you the wherewithal to overcome your resistance and recognize that this is what he would want you to do. Forgiving doesn't mean that you approve. It doesn't mean you let the person off the hook. It means that you no longer hold that against them. And that you are able to turn that matter loose and let God deal with it however he chooses to deal with it. But for you to hold on to it means that there never can be any resolution of the matter. The longer you hold, the more difficult it will be to let go or to forgive. And so my recommendation would be that you take that matter seriously to the Lord. You read those passages in the Bible that speak about forgiveness, and that prompts me also to say the greatest example we have of forgiveness is when Jesus was on the cross and he was able to look down at the people below him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you put that in human terms, then just imagine how would you feel with nails driven through your hands and feet by the people standing beneath you, and you look down at them, and oh, I can't forgive you. You are the ones that put me up here on this cross. But Jesus overcame his own feelings, and as the Son of God, gave forgiveness to those who had crucified him. So that is the example we have. And if we say that we are serving the Lord, if we say we are Christians and we are following the teachings of the Bible, then we know we really don't have another option. And so therefore, in able to do that, we go to the Lord. We say, give me the grace, give me the will, give me the ability to extend forgiveness to my mother, and trust God to be able to perform that work in you so that you can extend the forgiveness that needs to be accomplished.
Thank you so much. And Roberta, thank you. I hope that certainly does help. What I was going to do is I was actually going to forward that to you if you were able to answer that live tonight, so I'm so glad you were. And oftentimes when we post up our shows, people will see what the topic is, and they will go ahead and start submitting questions at that time. So I'm so glad that you were able to do that.
And Donna, you also would say to Roberta, make give her a referral to Forgiveness Ministries because there she can get detailed instructions or information regarding forgiveness and dealing with specific situations such as she has with her mother.
Absolutely. And thank you for adding that. I do want to read the other one that was received. And this one just says, Ms. Donna, thank you for the wide range of topics you bring to your listeners. They have been a blessing to me and my family. I was truly blessed by listening to Pastor Williams last week and would like for you to let him know. We will continue listening. And again, thanks. This is Carla from Denver. Thank you, Carla, for that. And certainly thank you for listening. And so she heard the show last week, Pastor Williams, and was appreciative of that. So
I extend my thanks to Carla. But I would further add, thanks be to God. God is the source of all that we do or say.
Yes, he absolutely is. Mm-hmm. He absolutely is. And so what I want to do before we run out of time, Pepe, I want you to just, if you would, take a few minutes and just share the information that you would like to leave our listeners with. I know that you've given us a lot of information. And once again, let me say, whether or not you joined the show late or you've been listening to the show since the beginning, I will still ask you, I think it would be great for you to go back and listen to the show in its entirety because of the detailed information that was given. And I know I plan to go back and do the same as well. And I do see an email. It says, please thank the therapist for all of her information. It has been a blessing. Okay, so with that said, Pepe,
okay.
What would you like
thank
to
thank you for hearing that.
Yeah, so how would you kind of wrap up? What would you like to leave the listeners with?
Oh, wow, because I had some other information too. But all right. Well, I guess I'll wrap up then because I wanted to talk about how to avoid getting into an abusive relationship as well as where to seek help.
Yeah,
but,
can you just, if you can just provide a few points on that because that is very important, how to avoid, you know, so that you're not even in that situation. So if you can take about 3 minutes to do that, that would be great.
Okay, so avoiding getting into abusive relationship, it just kind of asks, being aware, of course, how anger is expressed, how do they react when they're angry, how does the person also treat their family, whether it's their mother, father, sisters, or brothers, finding out about previous relationships and why and how they ended, and does the person deny that they have a problem with anger? And then we have, are they insecure or jealous? Does the person want you to stop seeing friends or family? How does the person act with your family, friends, or children? Another point where, what are his or her beliefs? Do they believe in treating you special? Does he or she go out with friends and insist you stay back? What are his or her belief system? Was he or she abused as a child? Did a person grow up in a family where violence was an everyday event? Was their mother abused? Was their father abused? What are the unresolved conflicts in the family? And then do they make promises they do not keep? Does the person turn up for appointments? Is the person in the habit of making excuses for lateness or missed appointments? And is that person reliable? Does he or she respect you as a person? Does the person encourage you to do better for yourself without putting you down? Are they tender to animals, children, and old people? Is the person cruel to animals? Do they kick dogs, throw the cats outside? How does the person relate to their grandparents or older people? Does he or she play with children? Do they take them up in their arms? Does he or she have a mature Christian relationship? I attend a church rarely.
How does the person feel about church participation, about returning a faithful offering? And the other thing, just where to seek help. Of course, an emergency, dialing 911. Also turning to someone you trust, whether that's a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a coworker, a religious or spiritual advisor. Calling the National Domestic Hotline, which we provided earlier. And talking to your healthcare provider, because say that, you know, maybe you are at home, that person's at home, and you can't really talk. I know now there's a lot of telehealth, this phone or the computer. So if you can't really be on the computer or on the phone, maybe you can text your healthcare provider and just kind of let them know what's going on. Okay.
Thank you so much.
A counselor or mental health center, getting your court, getting the court involved. So those are some ways to kind of seek help.
Thank you so much. And also, Pastor Williams, I'm going to ask you if you would also just take about 3 minutes and wrap up with whatever you would like to leave the listeners with as well, Pastor.
Well, I just heard something that prompted that gave me a thought that deals with this matter, especially for people who come from a faith background, and that is if you are meeting somebody for the first time, or you are thinking about a relationship with someone, and you come from a faith background, then it's extremely important that you determine quickly what are the values, what are the faith beliefs of the person that you are interested in or coming in contact with, because that is certainly going to be an indicator in terms of whether or not it is appropriate for you to continue a relationship or the level to which you make that relationship with the person. And as has been said by your therapist there, if you meet somebody who is completely against organized religion or doesn't believe in God, that in of itself is going to be problematic for you in terms of how you're able to relate to that person. And if faith is important in your own life, then to try and develop a relationship with somebody who doesn't hold that as important, that in and of itself will certainly create a negative situation that is unhealthy for you to pursue. So, again, if you are a person of faith and it is a major influence in your life, then certainly you want to interact with people who share the same belief system. Otherwise, that certainly could lead to problems on down the line.
Yes, and thank you for that, Pastor Williams. And I want to just go back and give the two phone numbers once again that were shared earlier, 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. And for men, it's 800-737-7328, 800-737-7328, or 800-RESPECT. Again, we've heard a lot of information this evening, and I certainly hope and pray that you've heard something that will help you if you are in a volatile relationship or if you know someone who is. Hopefully you'll be able to share this information with them, share the link to the show with them. And I just really, really, really hope that we were able to encourage you, or you were encouraged by something that you heard, okay? I also do want to read this email, and it says, Miss Donna, I was encouraged by listening to your show on yesterday about Gwendy. Thank you. And this came from John. John, thank you for that. And in case you all did not hear the show yesterday, I'm going to suggest that you go back and listen to that one, too. It was it was the show about Gwendy and about she's saying don't be discouraged. So we celebrated and remembered her, who has been, she's been promoted to heaven, but she certainly left a legacy, and we certainly did celebrate her legacy yesterday. And thank you so much for listening to that show. So if you want to be encouraged, most definitely go back and listen to that show as well on Sunday. Okay. Once again, I want to thank Pastor Williams and Pepe Chapman. Thank you all so much just for taking the time to speak with our listeners and to impart, you know, the information and wisdom that you both have. I certainly do appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do, and I certainly want to applaud you for doing that as well. Thanks again, everyone, for supporting. We appreciate you supporting our show, listening, and we've been doing a lot of shows here. We generally have our show on Sundays, but for the last 3 months since we began our Be Encouraged series, we've been averaging about 2 to 3 shows a week, and we're just going to continue to encourage you. Our loyal listeners, thank you so much. If you are listening for the first time today, we certainly do appreciate it. Welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. If you haven't a topic, an etiquette topic or a question that you would like to hear us discuss, feel free to go ahead and email that to us, missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. We will check it out and see what we can do about that topic. Also, remember the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. And we thank and appreciate you when you tell your friends and family about our show. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time, and we know we can only do that one person at a time. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. I also want to say happy anniversary to my cousin Brian and his wife Mary. They just celebrated on yesterday their 10th year anniversary, so I want to say happy anniversary to them. Once again, I thank you all for listening, and I really hope, again, that something you've heard, you will be able to be uplifted, inspired, encouraged, and that you would not just keep the information to yourself, but that you would also share it as well, okay? Thanks again for listening. We'll talk again soon. Good night. Take care. God bless.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and What is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged. You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.